Great to see you guys. I'd like to just invite Keith up straight away. We're going to get down to business. We're doing something that's important to us at St. Barnabas. It's one of our mission aims, and it's an intimate encounter with God. So get ready, guys. If you are looking for a deeper encounter with God, today is the day.
I'm actually going to read from the Passion Version. And it's in Matthew 26, verses 1 to 13, which is on page 941. After Jesus had completed his teachings, he said to his disciples, "You know that the feast of the Passover begins in two more days. That's when the Son of Man is to be betrayed and handed over to be crucified. Meanwhile, the prominent priests and religious leaders of the nation were gathered in the palace of the high priest Caiaphas. That's when they made their decision to secretly have Jesus captured and killed. But they all agreed, we can't do this during the Passover celebrations, or we could have a riot on our hands. Then Jesus went to Bethany, to the home of Simon, a man Jesus has healed of leprosy. A woman came into the house holding an alabaster flask filled with fragrant and expensive oil. She walked right up to Jesus, and in a lavish gesture of devotion, she poured out the costly oil, and it cascaded over his head as he was at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were offended. What a total waste, they grumbled. We could have sold it for a great deal of money and given it to the poor. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Why are you critical of this woman? She has done a beautiful act of kindness for me. You will always have someone poor whom you can help, but you will not always have me. When she poured the fragrant oil over me, she was preparing my body for burial. I promise you that as this wonderful gospel spreads all over the world, the story of her lavish devotion to me will also be mentioned in memory of her."
Thank you, Keith. So that's an amazing account of someone pouring out their love on Jesus, an intimate encounter with Jesus. But he doesn't want it to stop there. He doesn't want that to stop, because actually, he wants to give you an intimate encounter with Jesus. And today's the day you're going to find out more about that. A.W. Tozer says, "For millions of Christians, God is no more real than he is for non-Christians." And the background I came from, we talked about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was in you, but we never experienced it. We never felt it. In Daniel 11, it says, "Those who know their God will do great exploits." And know in Hebrew is actually yada, which means you know in an experiential way. We want to encounter Jesus experientially. We want to have him in our heart. We don't want to just know about encountering Jesus in our head. We don't want to just read, "Oh, Mary Magdalene poured out the oil." What does that mean today? So what? It means we can pour out our love on Jesus, and he, better still, wants to pour out his love on us. So it's exciting stuff. So for me, intimate encounters with Jesus tend to happen when I'm in a place of rest or worshipping. When we pour out our love on him, he pours out his love on us. Intimate encounters with Jesus are different for everyone, and every time they're different. And guess what? They're unexpected. They're out of our control, and they're beyond our understanding. So we're going to just see what do intimate encounters with Jesus look like today. We're going to see a video clip where we went and I asked people, what does it look like today?
It's like seeing the inside of the heart of God.
Encounter the presence of God is like a hidden place, a refuge, and I can feel His arms surrounding me, and I feel safe and peace.
For me, an intimate encounter with Jesus is when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and I just feel that Jesus has just given me a really big hug.
Wholehearted, extravagant time spent with Him in worship in the secret place.
Just like indescribable, overwhelming, just weight. Actually, I'm just worthy of being loved.
When I think of intimacy with Jesus, I think of that time at the beginning of the day where I just rest in His presence before everything else begins.
When I have an intimate encounter with Jesus, it's like being accepted and being loved by God, and I know that I am the Son of God.
The most powerful transformational thing, but it's like a really gentle touch. That's my experience.
An encounter with Jesus. An encounter with Jesus, to me, is meeting the person who loves me, who made me, who understands me, who completes me, and then not only changes me, but actually the person I'm destined to fully be, He brings me to. And so all the things that He does, all the journey that He takes me on, brings that fullness, brings me to a place of fullness.
That sounds good, doesn't it? Testimony. So we just want to pick up on those testimonies. Testimonies are the spirit of prophecy. So do it again, Lord. Any one of those experiences you fancy, grab it. It's there for the grabbing. We're releasing fresh encounters with Jesus for you today. And we're going to, in Matthew 22, verse 37 to 38, this is a particularly powerful verse. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. So Mary, she showed that, didn't she? She held nothing back. She had an alabaster flask and she poured out her beautiful, expensive, fragrant oil. That oil was worth one whole year of salary. And I can relate to Mary because I did a crazy thing 2 years ago. I gave up my job. It was sort of a high status job in publishing, got all the sort of freebies, got the name, picture in the magazine every week for years and years. And God said, No, it's time for a change. It's time for a change. And so I, sacrificed, you could say, 2 years of salary. I went completely down to nothing. And it's been fantastic. It's been fantastic. I am a Jesus loony. I am one of those crazy Jesus ladies. And it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Because there's so much more. There's so much more. Would you like more today? Would you like more today? Okay, well, so just take a look at that. That is a picture of Jesus, and He's reaching out your hand. Just picture His hand is holding, is coming out to you. He's saying, take my hand, take my hand, take my hand. God is good. God is a good, good Father. And I want you to come to the Father like a child today. Come, imagine yourself as a little tiny child and let Him wash over you with His love. He's not a condemning God. He's not a bad God. He's not wagging His finger at you. He's not telling you off. God is good. He loves you because He loves you. 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 Because He made you. He made you. He made you. And guess what? Today, He wants to give you a reset. He wants to give you an upgrade. Today is the day for an upgrade. Matthew 16, verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Sounds good to me. God is good. God is good. But guess what? He loves you too much. He loves you too much to leave you the way you are. He wants you to encounter His love, not just head knowledge, not I've been to church for years, I know all the verses, I do all the stuff. No, He wants to encounter, He wants you to be washed, to be renewed with His love. Yeah, so it's time for an upgrade. It's time for an upgrade. Time for an upgrade. Early on the first day of the week, after rising from the dead, Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he'd cast out seven demons. Wow, that is mind-blowing. The woman that was so bad, supposedly. Guess what? Jesus gives you a new identity. Mary Magdalene was labelled a sinner. She was a prostitute. And as Mary Magdalene had an upgrade from sinner to lover of Jesus, he's giving that to you today. Jesus as our first love. Jesus as our first love. Jesus was delivered of seven demons. Jesus forgave all that she was and gave her a new identity. She switched her focus to sticking close to Jesus during his ministry. She actually supported him financially. And most of all, she just loved him extravagantly. It's D-Day. It is D-Day. The day on which an important operation begins or a change takes an effect. We're claiming that today. It's D-Day. It's D-Day. Do you want what Mary had? Do you want to be delivered? She was delivered from her sins. She was devoted to Jesus. She was demonstrative. She poured out her lavish love on Jesus. She didn't care what anyone thought. She went against all cultural norms. She went as a woman into a house. She lay down at his feet and she poured out. She didn't care. People thought she was mad. She was weird. She didn't matter. She had single focus, the man she loved. Her heart pounded with love for Jesus. She wasn't looking at anybody else. And that's what he's giving to you today. You're going to be divinely connected to Jesus. Divinely connected in love, in connection. It's D-Day. So Jesus was her first love. She had to be with him all the time. She went against the cultural norms as a woman going into a man's house. She was so single-minded, she needed to extravagantly pour out her love on him. But are you wallowing in your weakness? So as Mary Magdalene had an upgrade, he's giving that to you today. It's what he did for Mary Magdalene. She was labelled a sinner. She was labelled a prostitute. She came from an area of Magdala, which was where sailors came and had a bit of fun. And we don't know. People say she was a prostitute. We don't know. She was given a label. Have you been given a label? Have you been given a label that's not true? Have you been given a label? Do you feast on rubbish that you've been told? Do you feast on that? Well, good news is we've got the cross of Jesus. The cross of Jesus. The upright thing means that we're connected to Jesus. But the thing across halfway, that's the rubbish that we hold on to, the rubbish that gets in the way. Oh, we're not good enough. My dad did this. I'm so poor. All the rest of it. I've got a pain. We get stuck in the horizontal, but he's calling us to the vertical. He's calling us to the vertical connection. As the angels go up and the angels come down, we can be released into the heavenly realms. There's no problem. We just need to get over ourselves, get over being stuck in all the rubbish, because he's done it all. He went to the cross, he paid the price, and it's all good. So what we're going to do, we want to hand the hurdles over to God. We want to hand the hurdles over to God. Just as Jesus took the keys from the devil, you don't need to live in fear. When we give our attention to the enemy, when we live in fear and we focus on the bad stuff, we give permission to the enemy. We give permission. But guess what? Jesus took the keys. Jesus said, I have all authority on heaven and earth, and I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. So we don't need to mess about with that. We don't need to mess about and get stuck in that. But obviously it's hard. It's hard. So what we're going to do is we're just going to have a time. It's a little bit different because I would like you to have an encounter with Jesus right now. Every single person is going to have an encounter with Jesus right now. Now, you don't need to worry. You don't need to do anything. All you're going to do is put out your hands. I remember when I first came to St. Barnabas, I put my hands out and it was the first time ever I felt something tingly, nice. Who knows? We don't understand it. We don't need to. But what we're going to do is I'd like you to think about seven things. Mary was delivered of seven things. We don't know what those things are. We all have things that we hold on to. And seven is a perfect number. He wants to bring you to completion, wholeness, and fullness, which is seven is the perfect number. So when we're going to reflect, we're going to let God's love wash over us when we listen to some music. And I want to picture that hand, Jesus' hand, you're handing over the rubbish. You're handing over the rubbish. If you've actually got seven things, that's great. Pass it, pass those. Just give them to God. Say, I'm sorry, God, that, you know, I keep holding on to this. Give them to God. And he's just going to wash over you. If you haven't got any of those things, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, it doesn't matter, because you're just going to be washed over with Jesus' love. Now, when I was a little girl, we were always taught to go into church, and we always, always, always kneeled. The first thing we did when we got into church, I was brought up in a good Church of England church with the little kneelers. We came in and we kneeled before God. What happened to kneeling? What happened to kneeling? What happened to kneeling? It's entirely up to you. I'm going to kneel. You might want to kneel. You might want to sit. You might want to close your eyes. We're just going to let the love of God wash over us.
Beautiful Father.
people's seal. We want to seal in any fresh encounters that people have had, any visions, Father God, any words of healing, Father. We just seal those. We seal in your goodness. We seal in your love. Thank you, Father. You're giving the stamp of approval on every single person. I've just got a picture of a red stamp, a seal of approval. It's authority. He gives the seal of approval on everything about you. Everything about you. He's giving the seal of approval. Seal of approval. And yeah, what we just need to do now, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer to seal it in. But I want you not to say it in a way that you've said it a million times. He said, teach us how to pray. So we're going to say it like we really mean it. Feel free. If you want to do something a bit different, you know, put your hands out. Be bold. Stand up. You know, don't worry about other people. We're talking about God doing business with us. He wants to do business with us. He wants us to passionately love him, not in a way of a religious way of reciting our Father. What does it really mean to say this prayer? What does it really mean? Okay, let's say it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I'm just going to encourage you to slow down. Feast on the words. Feast on the words. We're going to say it again slowly. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Yeah. Have we got that? The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. The kingdom, the power, the glory are yours. And because we're part of Dad's family, we are seated in heavenly places, we are in the royal family. Guess what? We bring the kingdom. We bring the kingdom. We bring the kingdom goodness. We bring the kingdom goodness. Okay, so I'm just going to come back to intimate encounter. Intimate encounter. Did you have an intimate encounter? Did you feel God say something? Did you experience his love? Don't let the moment pass without recording it. Make sure you make a note on your phone. Make sure you write it down. This is a marking moment. This is D-Day. And look at this beautiful picture of Sean. She gave me, she was a little bit too late to go in the video, but God is so good because I was able to put this in. He wants us to come to him with childlike faith. We don't need to understand how he loves us. We just want to accept it like a child. He's our daddy. He loves us. And Sean said, when she has an intimate encounter with God, she said this, when he says a specific word, phrase, or picture to me, it unlocks something and brings freedom. So guess what? Just now, you had an encounter with Jesus. So it's bringing freedom. It's unlocking things. Stuff that's held you back for years, drop it off. It's no more. Claim it. Claim it. The encounter brings new identity. I am a new creation. We are a new creation in Jesus. But unless you dramatically change your way of thinking and become teachable and learn about heaven's kingdom realm with wide-eyed wonder of a child, you will never be able to enter in. So stop trying to work it out. Stop trying to work it out. It doesn't matter. I can't work it out. God is good. He loves you more than you can ever imagine. He wants to release his joy. Why wouldn't you want it? Why wouldn't you want it? So today is the day he's going to release keys to the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not a matter about rules, about food and drink. That's Old Testament. All the rubbish you had to do, all the things you thought you had to do to tick the boxes, rubbish. That was then. It doesn't matter about that. The kingdom of God is the realm of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? It's filled with righteousness, peace, and joy. Yeah, he's releasing that today. So he's giving you a new set of keys. Get ready, get ready, get your key holder ready. Get ready to pick up the new keys of the kingdom. He's releasing five new keys. the key of intimacy. And intimacy, intimacy means into me, you see. Yes, into me, you see. Everything about you, he sees. Into me, you see. If you have a prophetic word from someone, I had it last week. I shared a name and this guy didn't really believe in God. He wasn't sure. I went and said a name to him and he said, oh my goodness, I was just saying God's not real. And you've said this name, and how do you know this name? Because I didn't have to try. God just downloads it. God wants to give us all that. He knows everything about us. He gave me healing dreams of my life in order of my life, consecutive order of my life, every detail of my life. He gave me dreams to free me up because he knows me intimately, just as he knows you. Intimacy, into me you see. Yeah? That's number one key. Put it in your pocket. Number two, he's giving you the key of presence. Presence, presence. What's presence all about? Presence is about the Holy Spirit upon you. Holy Spirit upon you. Now, if you think about a dove, I've been doing London School of Supernatural Ministry, and Bill Johnson is the sort of head teacher there, and he explains Holy Spirit and presence in a brilliant way. He says, the presence is expressed as a dove. How would you walk if you had the dove on your shoulder all the time? How would you walk? You'd walk carefully. You'd walk gently. So basically, I always walk with the presence of God in mind. I'm imagining the dove of peace is on me. So whatever rubbish is going on, whatever's happening in the world, it doesn't matter because I'm in the kingdom. The dove of peace is on me. The Holy Spirit is upon me. The Holy Spirit is in us. For us, but it's upon us for others. It's not for us to feel good and fuzzy and good. It's upon us to release the kingdom because it's nothing we do. He releases everything, power in the Holy Spirit. And then the third key, up, tuck your presence key in your pocket. Now we on to key number three is righteousness. Righteousness is right living and kindness in relationships. Righteousness, we know, you know, Ten Commandments, do not commit adultery, all this kind of thing. Great, we've got to stick our eyes on all things good and pure and lovely. But interesting, righteousness is actually about kindness in relationship. It's about thinking of other people before ourselves. Take that, tuck that in your pocket, key of righteousness. So then he wants to give you the key of peace. Now, peace from Jesus is the presence of something, not the absence of something. In the world, we say, oh, that's really great. You know, we've got peace because there's not a war. Rubbish. Peace, 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 peace is peace, a presence, a beautiful presence. Like I went into labor at 26 weeks with Bella, actually. I was in South Africa. I went into labor. My waters broke. I had to get back from South Africa. My waters were supernaturally regenerated with Bella inside me. And I had to come back on the plane, which was all really crazy stuff. 26 weeks pregnant. The waters are broken. I was in total peace. It was fine. God had me. So peace is the presence of something. And fifth key, or tuck your peace key in the pocket. Fifth key is the key of joy. Now, joy is the Holy Spirit, and it releases fullness of joy. Now, I'd just like to apologize. You might have occasionally heard me laughing and think I'm very disrespectful. But a crazy thing happens to me in the presence of God. He releases joy. I mean, the very first time I experienced the Holy Spirit was when we went on a weekend away, St. Barnabas, very respectable weekend away, going deeper with God. And the Holy Spirit was poured out on me, and I couldn't stop laughing. It was uncontrollable. It was unexpected. And at that point, I was in a time of, I wasn't in a good place. But he burnt it all off, all that laughter burnt off the rubbish, and I was healed. And for me, when I feel the presence, I just can't help having joy. And joy is his goodness. Joy isn't just happiness. It's not a moment. It's a deep, uncontrollable joy. And I'm releasing that to you. So yeah, we just want to release those keys today. I'm declaring those in the name of Jesus, that you are released with these five keys. Put them all into your pocket. The key of intimacy, the key of presence, the key of righteousness, the key of peace, and the key of joy. Jesus, we just thank you. We praise you. We bless you. And get ready to pull those keys out anytime you need them. So back to, I know we're getting on with the time, back to Mary. Mary returned to the tomb, and it was after Jesus had died, and a man said to her, dear woman, why are you crying? What are you looking for? Mary answered, thinking he was only the gardener, sir, if you have taken his body somewhere else, tell me, and I will go. Mary go and... Mary, Jesus interrupted her. He opened her spiritual eyes. Oh, we just need the next one. Yeah, so Mary, Jesus interrupted her. He opened her spiritual eyes. She turned her face and said, Rabboni, my teacher. Jesus cautioned her, Mary, don't hold on to me now, for I've not yet ascended to my Father. So there's lots of things there. Basically, do you recognize his voice? Do you recognize his voice? At first, Mary didn't recognize Jesus because he was in a different form. Learn to recognize his voice. Practice the presence. Learn to recognize. And don't think, oh, it's just a silly thought from me. That's probably God talking to you. And he was on his way. He was on his way after dying. He was on his way to go to his Father. And he called to see Mary, the person that was supposedly so bad. And he said, don't worry, Mary, I've got it sorted. I'm going to get the keys back from the enemy. And the next thing he said was, go and tell everyone about me. It's not only about my Father and God, but now he's your Father and God. Now go, my brothers, and tell them that I've told you I am. The present tense. He was, I am ascending to my Father and your God and my God and your God. He's our God. He's his God. He's done it all. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the passionate love you had for me at the beginning. Think about how far you've fallen. Repent and do the works of love you did at first. I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place of influence if you do not repent. So what we're going to do as a response, we want to respond to this. We want to repent, respond, and be anointed. In Revelation 2, verse 4, it says, you've abandoned your first love. What does it mean, your first love? The Greek word for first means protos. It means foremost. It means best. It means paramount. It means supreme. It means crowning. It means number one. Jesus is referring to an exclusive love that has first place in our hearts. And that's what he wants for us. Just as a dove is single-minded, a dove can't look to the right or left. It's single-minded.